a tried soul, a precious cornerstone in every need and shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. President Bush and the Gulf War. President Bush declared an end to the major combat on May the 1st, as you remember that. The 1st Battalion of the new Iraqi Army had graduated and is on active duty. Over 60,000 Iraqis now provide security to their fellow citizens. Nearly all of Iraq's 400 courts are functioning. The Iraqi judiciary is fully independent. And a power generation had hit a 4,518 megawatts high, exceeding the pre-war average. All 22 universities and 43 technical institutes and colleges are open, as are nearly all primary and secondary schools. Coalition forces had rehabbed over 1,500 schools, 500 more than scheduled. Teachers earn from 12 to 25 times their former salaries. All 240 hospitals and more than 1,200 clinics are open. Doctors' salaries are at least 8 times what they were under now captured Saddam. The pharmaceutical distribution has gone from essentially nothing to 700 tons to a current total of 12,000 tons. Coalition has self-administered over 22 million vaccination doses to Iraqis' children. Coalition program has cleared over 14,000 kilometers of Iraqis, 27,000 kilometers of weed-choked canals, which now irrigate tens of thousands of farms. This project has created jobs for more than 100,000 Iraqi men and women. We have restored over three-quarters of pre-war telephone services and over two-thirds of the water production. There are 4,900 full-service telephone connections. We expect 50,000, they say, by the year, by the end of 2003, which now we're in the 2004, so surely they ought to have it by now. The wheels of commerce are turning. from bicycles to satellite dishes to cars and trucks, businesses are coming alive in all major cities and towns. 95% of all pre-war bank customers have service, and first-time customers are opening accounts daily. Iraqi banks are making loans to finance businesses. The central bank is fully independent. Iraq has one of the world's most growth-oriented investment and banking laws. Iraq has a single unified currency for the first time in 15 years. Satellite TV dishes are legal, enabling something besides Muslim propaganda to be piped into homes of everyday Iraqis. Foreign journalists aren't on 10-day visas paying mandatory and exorbitant free fees to the Ministry of Information for minders and other government spies. There is no Ministry of Information. There are now more than 170 newspapers today in Iraqi chambers of commerce. Businesses, school, professional organizations are electing their leaders all over the country. 25 ministers, selected by the most representative governing body in Iraq's history, run the day-to-day businesses of government. The coalition has completed over 13,000 reconstruction projects, large and small, as part of the strategic plan for the reconstruction of Iraq. Uday and Qusay, Saddam's demon-possessed sons, are dead and no longer feeding innocent Iraqis to the zoo lions, raping the young daughters of local leaders to force cooperation, torturing Iraq's soccer players for losing games, or murdering critics. Saddam is gone, is jailed, and is being forced by the CIA to watch captured videotapes of people he tortured. Iraq is free. President Bush has not faltered or failed. Yet, little or none of this information has been published by the press corps that prides itself on bringing you all the news that's important. Iraq, under U.S.-led control, has come further in 6 months than Germany did in 7 years, or Japan did in 9 years following World War II. Military deaths from fanatic Nazis, the Japanese numbered in the thousands, and continued for over 3 years after World War II victory was declared. Don't be brainwashed by our press. Thank you to the Baptist Bible Trumpet for these statistics that were collected. And depending on when you hear this broadcast, let it be known that we have done more for the Iraqi people than any country has ever done for the Iraqi people. There is, of course, those nations that did not want to participate in helping us win the war. They cannot say that we, as the United States of America, have not done incredibly, a really miraculously working phenomena. Of course, God is behind the miracles, and God will bless any country like the United States of America if we bless the Jewish nation. You'll notice that any nation in the world that's gone against Israel, look at them. Just look at them real closely and you will see. They are usually poverty-stricken. They're being run by a dictator. People are miserable. There is desolation in the land, spiritual depravity. And this is true because the Bible is very clear. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curseth thee. The editor of the Bible Baptist Trumpet said some very wise remarks when he said, if I went to a football game in Jerusalem, I would expect to hear Jewish prayer. If I went to a soccer game in Baghdad, I would expect to hear a Muslim prayer. If I went to a ping pong match in China, I would expect to hear someone pray to Buddha. I wouldn't be offended when they prayed to their gods. It wouldn't bother me one bit. If it did bother me, I don't imagine they would stop praying as they always have just to keep me from being hurt. Yet in the United States of America, where Christian churches outnumber all others combined, better than 200 to 1, we can't pray before a football game or at a high school graduation. What is the difference? They've got more guts and convictions than we do. Okay, let's look at file two here regarding End Times News. So interesting to hear about the new bishop in Jerusalem. Yes, his name is Bishop Jean Baptiste Gurion. And believe it or not, he's a full-blooded Jew. That's right. He was born, evidently, in 1934 to a Jewish family in Oran, Algeria. And he was baptized in Paris in 1958. And he joined the monastery there in Normandy. I guess he's become very well known, and the old Pope decided to send him to Jerusalem. Now, being that he is a bishop, and being that he is in Jerusalem, let me first say a few things. We do not endorse the Roman Catholic Church by any stretch of imagination. You do understand that. We are independent Baptists. We never were from the Harlot Church and never planned to be there. But I want you to understand now regarding Bible prophecy that in these last days we are seeing more and more evidence that Rome, the Harlot Rome, the spiritual church known as the mother of all harlots in the book of Revelation, this is the false spiritual church, I might add, that out of this little horn now is going to come the Antichrist. And according to Bible prophecy, we know he's going to have to be a Jew for various reasons. First of all, the Jewish people will not accept a so-called false Messiah unless he is from Jewish roots. Secondly, according to the Word of God, the Jews are to only have a king or ruler that will come out of their own. Therefore, this very interesting prophetic event that has occurred here. He is the first bishop of Jerusalem to be a Jew. Interestingly, you cannot deny there's something going on here. Well, he was interviewed by the U.S., by Israel Today, and I'm going to read this interview that was made. I'm going to make some comments. Of course, I'm going to make some comments because there's a lot of stuff that he says is just unbelievable. Okay, but anyway, he says here that after the ordination, they had interviewed him, and Gurion says, "Thank you. Yes, I am the first Jewish bishop in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, in nearly 2,000 years." Now, folks, I want to just tell you that is quite astounding. We are closer than you think. The question was given to him, what's the difference between a Catholic Jew and a Messianic Jew? And Bishop Gurion said the Jewish Catholics belong to a historical church, whereas the Israeli Messianic Jews developed a new expression only 50 years ago. Apart from that, we have much in common on faith, including the Hebrew language. Well, let me just mention to you folks who are listening to my voice that the Jewish Catholics, so-called, do not belong to any historical church because the Roman Catholic Church didn't begin until after 300 A.D. They claim to have been around before that, but history tells us they were not. It was the Baptists that were around since the Apostle John, and it's just ludicrous for them to take credit for being there from the beginning. Well, the reason they want to do that, you understand, is it gives them validity that they are the mother church. Well, anyhow, then they say that the Israeli Messianic Jews didn't come to full expression till 50 years ago. Now, first of all, let me clarify something. Many Messianic Jews are not doctrinally correct. They believe in some far-out doctrines. Some of them don't even believe in triune Godhead. Many of them are charismatic and really gone off the deep blue end there. They don't represent any true fundamental doctrines of the faith, partly perhaps, but not representative of those that are sound in the faith in these last days. But those few Messianic Jews that are seeking to follow the Lord, I guess I can be called a Messianic Jew because I'm a Jewish believer in the Messiah. But I am an independent Baptist, folks, and I'm thankful that I am. I'm thankful I'm identified with those who have stood the test of time for the faith and have given their lives for the Word of God. There is a marked difference. The Roman Catholic Church does not believe, do not believe, and never have believed that it is faith alone that saves you through the blood of Jesus Christ. No, they've mixed all kinds of good works into that equation of getting saved. And you know very well as I do, the Roman Catholic Church for years has taught damnable doctrines, purgatory, paying your way into heaven and getting out of purgatory, and having to confess your sins before earthly priests, and damnable heresies have permeated that whole false church system. Whereas true Bible-believing Christians through the last 2,000 years have truly believed the Word of God, willing to die for it, believe that you do not get saved by good works, believe that you should only be baptized only after you've been born again, and that baptism does not save you. True Bible-believing Christians believe baptism should be by immersion, not by sprinkling or by any other means. And the baptism means simply to be fully wet. The Bible says they came out of the water. They did not take a shower and claim to be baptized. And so, beloved, born-again, Bible-believing Christians always believed that Jesus died for their sins on the cross of Calvary. He paid it all, and there's need not to do any more for atonement. But yet, in the Mass, they are reenacting the atonement in the Eucharist. And this is a blasphemous thing. They believe that the cup transforms itself into the blood and the bread transforms itself into the body. This is absolutely spiritual cannibalism. It is absolutely heresy of the worst kind. Next question was posed to him. Do you have contact with Messianic Jews in Israel? According to this Bishop Gurion, he said, even if we don't have official contacts with Messianic Judaism, I personally have close ties with Messianic Jews in the country. All in all, we are one family. Well, I disagree with that. There are approximately 5,000 professed Messianic Jews. Many of them are totally out of whack in Israel. Many of them are charismatic Pentecostals who deny some very cardinal doctrines of the Bible. We are not one family, the Roman Catholic Church. They are totally out of the family of the devil and his messengers. We, who are truly Messianic Jews who believe the Bible, are representative of the Bride of Christ. This is a marked difference, obviously. It's always been the harlot church's desire to be supreme and have the supreme authority of all Bible-believing Christians. And if they did not capitulate and submit to their wicked authority, they killed them. And they did torture them and did many horrible things. So they believe they're the universal church and everybody under them, is to submit. Well, if you're a Baptist, you know that's absolutely absurd. They are no universal church, like that. But we teach and preach in the importance of the local independent Baptist church. And those who are truly born again, Bible-believing Christians, they represent the true churches in the world. Now, the next question is posed. They had asked him how his family reacted, and Obviously, they were disappointed, they said. I don't know why they would have been disappointed. The modern day Judaism today is just as apostate as the Roman Catholic Church is apostate from mainstream Christianity. Next question. Nevertheless, you represent the Catholic Church, which has been responsible for the death of thousands of Jews in the name of Jesus. This is what his answer was. The Bishop of Jerusalem of the Roman Catholic Harlot Church, who is a full-blooded Jew, said, the Pope, who heads the Catholic Church and directs its policies, asks the Jewish people for forgiveness, both in Rome and Jerusalem. I can't help but to laugh when I read this. This is a farce. It is a lie. It is a joke. The Roman Catholic Church has never taken full responsibility for their actions in influencing Hitler and the Holocaust. And he says here, it's in our hands to bring about reconciliation between Jews and Christians through our daily lives. What history destroyed, we must rebuild. Well, let me just say, there Bible-believing Christians never had a part in the destruction of Israel. They did not have a part in the Holocaust. This would have been a terrible atrocity for them to be a part of that. They could not. It is obviously against just the reality of being born again. But the Roman Catholic Church, playing in the hands of the devil, had a big part in this whole thing. They gave permission. They encouraged it. They've taught covenant theology for years that they themselves represent the spiritual Israel. They've always promoted the fact that Jews are heathen, worthy of death. Just like in the Old Testament, they put the heathen to death. They feel like they are the nation of Israel to perform punishment upon those who disregard the Bible. The question, though I don't want to mention any names, not every Catholic bishop wants to be reconciled with the Jewish people. Bishop Gurion said that's true, but we must create a new way of thinking in the church, which is impossible overnight. Among the Jews as well, there are those who are positive toward Christians, others who are negative. Well, let me emphasize again, he's saying Christians, he's talking about the Roman Catholic Church. When I say Christians, I'm talking about Bible-believing believers in Jesus who abhor the harlot church and recognize them playing in the hands of the Antichrist movement of today. We have no part of it and never have had any part. Listen, independent Baptists, Baptists in general historically have never been anti-Jew, anti-Israel. They have always loved the nation of Israel. The question posed to him for both political and theological reasons, the Vatican was reluctant to recognize the Jewish state, establishing diplomatic ties with Israel just 10 years ago. One of the reasons is that the Catholic Church thinks of itself as God's chosen people. Now, this bishop of Jerusalem, the Jew, says, well, 40 years ago in the Second Vatican Council, the Church adopted a new theological position toward Israel as God's chosen people. The Catholic Church does not replace the Jewish people with whom God made an eternal covenant. Well, yeah, they just made it on paper, but they really do believe they are spiritual Israel, and they represent that. That is the reality. They've said a lot of things in order to make people go along with their diabolical plans. But in the 1950s, how could you as a Jew join the Catholic Church when it looked upon itself and still does, at least in part, as God's chosen people? Bishop Gurion answered this question by saying, I knew then that the church theology was wrong concerning Jewish people. But what was worse for me was being disowned by my Jewish family and friends of joining the church. Well, of course, he is sidestepping the question. And then the question posed in the New Testament is a very Jewish book. But I often get the impression that the churches almost completely ignore the Old Testament. Bishop Gurion said, you're right, and that shouldn't be. One cannot understand the New Testament without studying the Old Testament. This often results in theological misunderstandings, and let me say, it still does. And the only reason he might have gotten that understanding is probably read some good books on theology. But by no stretch of imagination could he ever come to the knowledge of the truth as long as he's under the thumb of the Roman Catholic Church. And do you still think of yourself as part of the Jewish people? Bishop Gurion said, sure, I see myself as a Jew. So, folks, do you see how he could very well become the Antichrist? Israel Today editor had asked him this last question. As a Jew and a Catholic, so you want the best of both worlds. Bishop Gurion laughs, says, yes, that's one way of saying it. Well, I want to tell you one thing. He, being a Roman Catholic, is representing the arch enemy of Israel today. He could not do any good for Israel except to play in the hands of the enemy of God and the enemies of God, represent the heart of the church and all their diabolical plans to take over the Jewish nation through the avenue of the Antichrist. And very possibly we are hearing from the soon-to-be Antichrist. But, of course, the Bible says he will not be revealed until the true church of Almighty God is taken out of here. If you are a Roman Catholic listening to this, I implore you, I beg of you to consider to get out of that organization that has been the cause of much anguish among the Jewish people for centuries, and they will continue to as long as they have opportunity to do so. Perhaps now they're somewhat been put in a submissive role, but give them some time and they will absolutely raise their ugly hair, and they have, of course, in many, many ways, have created an anti-Semitic environment throughout the world, and they still do, by the way. Many of the atrocities that are occurring throughout the world against the Jews are being perpetrated by those who claim to be Catholics. Why? Their theology, their mode of operation, their psyche, their philosophy all tends to lean towards going against the nation of Israel. But I implore you as a Roman Catholic that you must realize you cannot get saved by following the Virgin Mary. You cannot get saved by following the Pope. You cannot get saved by good works. You cannot never get saved by being in an institution as a Roman Catholic Church. You will never get born again by following a system. The only thing that can help you is to humbly bow before a holy God and recognize that you are wicked as hell and that you need forgiveness, not through penance, but through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and only through his blood. And that good works can never save you, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, the Bible says, he saved us. So you're going to have to shed all of that dependency upon a good works system and realize that without the righteousness of Jesus, you'll never get born again, you'll never get written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, if you're a Jewish person, I'd like to ask you to consider who really represents true biblical Christianity, and the Roman Catholic Church never did, never will. Just forget them. They have nothing to do with loving the God of Israel. They are an apostate group. They are a false group, and they are being led by a false teacher known as the Pope. The scriptures tell us plainly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That, of course, we've taught many years, speaking of the rapture of the true church. The bride of Christ will be taken out of this mess. Yes, glory to God. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him. Even him, the Bible says, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Boy, do we see a lot of that going on today. Now, of course, these are stepping stones to what's going to occur in magnitude. And in verse 10, the Bible says, with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You can't point your finger at God and say, well, I didn't know any better. Oh, yes, you will have known better. But by that time, it'll be too late. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, if you know the truth now, now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. You cannot ignore the truth. If the truth, if God has shown you that you need to get right with him, you need to get saved, born again, and know you're on your way to heaven, and name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is no time to waste. For if the Lord would come right now, take the bride away in the rapture, you would never have a chance again to be saved. If you've heard the truth, understood the truth, and rejected the truth, it'll be too late for you. All right, now, folks, listen, I do not want you to go away. Listen, the best is even yet to come, and we have more things. We want you to stay with us now, and it will bless your heart. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you have decided to stay with us for the remainder of the time, and we don't have as much time this broadcast for the trying to get to the place where I can finish this series on why does Israel suffer, but we will do our best. And many have, a number have written in asking about myself. We had some delays in some of our broadcasting, and consequently, of course, some people to wonder if I was all right. And I had some surgery done, but I'm okay now. God has helped to help me through it and feel a lot better. And so you continue to pray for me and for the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast and all our outreaches that the Lord's blessed us with. And if there's any independent Baptist churches out there that are interested in having me to preach a meeting on tabernacle, prophecy, Israel, anything related to that, I also have done revival meetings on the King James Bible issue from a Jewish perspective, and it can be a big help to your churches. But we do have some openings during the year, and if you believe that we can be a blessing to you, just contact us. We also need desperately sponsors for the broadcast. We don't spend a lot of time pleading, begging for money for this broadcast. We're doing this as a ministry. But if God has touched your heart and you feel it's a worthy ministry, getting the gospel out to the Jewish people throughout the world and building up the churches and giving them a burden for the Jews, then I ask you to please help us financially. And it will be used to sponsor these broadcasts throughout the world. And so anyway, enough of that, I guess. But I want to continue here on why does Israel suffer? And we've spent quite many minutes regarding that. And now we're coming to the close of the series on why does Israel suffer? Well, there are some divine reasons for Israel's sufferings, and we need to look at that. In Isaiah chapter 48, verses 9 to 10, one of the main reasons that God has allowed Israel to suffer over these many, many years is to refine them, to refine them. He says, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Oh, how true that is. and you say, what God, what true God would allow that to happen to his people? Well, God knows what he's doing. I'm not going to criticize him. I'm not going to question what he does, why he does what he does. I have complete confidence God knows exactly what needs to be done in the lives of his chosen people, Israel. They historically have been a very rebellious nation. And because he loves them with an everlasting love, he's done everything he can to bring them back. And one of the ways he does it is by suffering. And it is to refine them. According to Jeremiah chapter 44 and chapter 46, verse 22, chapter 44, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed, therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day. And during the days of Jeremiah, this was so true. And for many, many years after that, it was true. And during the Dark Ages, it was true. God had left the land desolate because he could not bear the evil doings any longer. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee. Aren't you glad about that? But correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. So this is a father relationship to his children, the children of Israel, and God has been very displeased with their behavior, and therefore God has driven them to the four corners of the earth, and consequently has allowed them to be punished by other nations. But he said the other nations are going to come to an end, but not Israel. That is a promise by Almighty God. If you look at every nation under heaven, every nation has come to an end historically. One empire after another has been destroyed, utterly taken over by other empires. But Israel is still alive today. It is the only nation in the world that's ever been scattered and then gathered back together. According to Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Now this is the prophet Daniel speaking on behalf of the children of Israel in his day. And he admits and he confesses that he has sinned, a representative of the people. The people have sinned. And he, being a leader among them, confesses it as his own personal sin as well. If only the Jews would realize they have sinned against the Holy God as a nation and as individuals, God would have mercy. And he provided the way for mercy through the shed blood of the Messiah. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. So it is today with all the Palestinian confrontations they're facing and all the suicide bombers. The Israelis cannot figure out how can they be the chosen people of Israel and suffer so much and go through so much pain and agony. Well, the Bible says, unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Listen, if you are a Jewish person, if you are an Israeli, would you not heed to the word of God? Why are you suffering? Why is the nation of Israel suffering? Because we have sinned as a nation, the prophet Daniel tells us. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Listen, if you're a rabbi, a Jewish leader, a teacher of Mosaic law, would you not take heed to what the Bible's saying here? That all Israel's guilty of rebelling against God, their leaders, the kings, the princes, the teachers, and he has confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Would you not look at why these things are happening in Israel? Why suicide bombers are allowed to come and kill hundreds and thousands of people already in the last few years? Why is God allowing this? Why did God allow the Holocaust? Over 6 million Jews were killed. Why? You say, well, we as rabbis, you see, we don't make error in judgment. The Jews need to listen to us. We're their leaders. But it's the very leaders of Israel that have led Israel astray. Don't you see this? This is the same problem they had in the days of Jeremiah. Yes, yes. As it is written in the Lord Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities. Hey, folks, that's repentance. And understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Oh, folks, can you see it? Can you see it? This is why NBC, ABC, all the news media outlets, most of them are against Israel. This is why the kings of the earth are against Israel. This is why all the Arab countries are anti-Semitic and hate Israel, would love to see them drown in the Mediterranean Sea. Why is this occurring? God has allowed it. Why has God allowed it? To refine Israel, to bring them to repentance, to bring them to see their wicked ways. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, according to the prophet Daniel saying this, and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness. Righteousness is but for thy great mercies. Today in modern Judaism, the system is works for salvation. Self-righteousness is dominant in their religious provocations. I tell you, beloved, that they, as a nation, as Jews, are going to have to recognize that it's not their righteousness that will save them, but the righteousness of the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Why then have the Jews suffered so much all these years? Is it because they've rejected their Messiah some 2,000 years ago? The Bible says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and do defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. The next reason why God Almighty has allowed Israel to suffer, not only to refine them, but to return them unto himself. He said in Amos 4:4, come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. God is saying, listen, all your rituals and traditions and man-made commandments. Go ahead and do all that. God says, this liketh unto you. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you. Isn't it true in the last few years that they have a water shortage? And the Sea of Galilee has been at its lowest? Why? Well, the Bible says, also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water. Can you imagine Israel is getting water from the country of Turkey? Incredible. When the world used to get water from Israel, I mean, they used to get everything from Israel. Now Israel is practically begging people to supply their needs. But they were not satisfied yet. Have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the man of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Oh, I hope these words that you hear, if you're a Jewish person without Jesus Christ as your Messiah, I hope it brings you under Holy Ghost conviction that you are a lost sinner on your way to the flames of hell, and you need the forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. If you're a Bible-believing Christian listening to this, oh, I hope it burdens you for the nation of Israel, to love them more, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem more. And if you're a non-Jew without Christ, may it show you that as God has dealt with Israel, he has also dealt very, very severely with all other nations, even far worse in many cases. Will you come to the Lord? That's the call today. Will you come to meet your Maker before you meet him as judge? Will you not come and meet him as your Savior? Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel,
if after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.